I hope you think about the words while you sing them. It's wonderful encouragement in these hymns that speak of the work of Christ and the blessings he's brought upon us. Use them in your devotion. If you feel like you're cold of heart, get out your hymn book. Pick out a good hymn like Not What My Hands Have Done or Yes, I'll Sing, and the Lord will, I believe, help you to renew your heart. Remember Christ. Let's get our Bibles out and turn to Ephesians 6 today. We continue our study of the family. And there are many more things we could say in the first three verses of Ephesians 6, 4 on children, honoring their parents, their father and their mother, and obeying their parents in the Lord. That is because of Christ, because Christ wants them to. And we talked about those things, some of those things at youth camp, about not only just obeying mindlessly or just legalistically or trying to honor your parents because you're afraid of what will happen if you don't, but loving Christ, and because of his great love and forgiveness and service to the soul of a young person, to love their parents by grace, as Christ has loved them, to forgive their parents, as Christ has forgiven them of everything, and to serve their parents as Christ has served them, to think of positively of ways of bringing joy to their parents. And so there are many things in the Bible about that, particularly the book of Proverbs. And we're praying that our young people will not only hear the word, but trust in God and honor him and obey it toward their parents. But in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, we move on to verse 4. Let's read the first four verses together. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Paul says in Colossians 3, the parallel passage, do not exasperate your children. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the nurture and discipline of the Lord, or the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we know that you have made us, you're our Creator, and that we owe to you our love, our worship, and our obedience, especially in the light that you have sent your Son into this world to make atonement for our sins against you and to change our hearts to love you and to live the way you want us to. So we pray, as we continue to study the family, you'll help parents and children to do that, to live with each other as a witness of your grace, of your forgiveness, of your service, your love to us, to benefit the other, that we would learn the way of the cross. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, what I want to do is bring an overview of some of the things that we'll be talking about in the next few weeks. Ephesians 6:4 is really very clear. It addresses fathers. Now, that certainly includes that children should honor their father and their mother. He's just said that. But the reason he addresses fathers is because ultimately the husband and father of the household is responsible before God to raise their children in the nurture and discipline of the Lord, to make sure that their children are not provoked by anger or to anger or exasperated by parents' behavior, and to make sure that there's peace in the household, in the family, that there's charity and kindness and mercy and love. So fathers are addressed as responsible before God. They cannot just put off the care of the children to their wife. For it is the fathers who are addressed in Deuteronomy 6 and in Ephesians 6 to teach their children the law of God and the gospel of Christ, and to make sure they are raised in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, that is, learning about God, and then applying that in the way they live in the home through the teaching and the rod and reproof. So all of this focuses in on the fathers, and we'll continue that in the next few weeks. But I'd like to begin by reading you a couple of statements, and these are things that I composed a few years ago as a result of many years in the ministry. Comments that I've heard from husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, about the trials of child raising. And what it betrays, I think, is that the raising of children always begins with a good marriage. As I give you a synopsis of through many churches and many people who've talked to me over the years about raising children, she says, when the children are not around or when we go on dates, we really seem to do well. But when he comes in the door and sees the children disobeying, instead of lovingly dealing with them, he starts blaming me for not being consistent with them. Sometimes he accuses me of not following his leadership or of loving the children more than him. I admit that I am not perfect with the children, but he doesn't know what I've been doing all day, or how many times I've had to discipline the children, how many car trips I've had to make without his help. He rarely asks me if I'm tired and need help. It is almost as if he's more concerned about the household order than me personally. If I try to correct his wrong perceptions or disagree with something about the children, he gets angry at me and criticizes me in front of the children. Then he becomes too harsh, angry, and demanding towards them. We just cannot seem to communicate well or agree about raising the children. I don't know what to do anymore. And sometimes I avoid dealing with the children, knowing that no matter what I do, he will still find some fault in it. I find myself withdrawing from him and the children and tired of trying. He says, I am so frustrated with raising the children like God wants us to do. I find myself so tired from work that I just want to rest a while when I come home. But the children get into a squabble and I have to deal with it. Or my wife neglects to correct the children when they fail to follow her instructions. Then I find myself getting irritated with the children and angry with my wife. I just don't think she agrees with me about how God wants us to raise the children. She argues with me about my rules for the children or what I permit them to do or not do. I've told her what to do, but she doesn't seem to try my way. She always has a better way. Sometimes I get so frustrated with disobedient children or so guilty for failing to get my family in order that I feel like a failure as a father. I fail to lead in family worship regularly because I get so angry, then feel too hypocritical to gather the family together to pray. Yet my wife seems to think things aren't so bad or that I'm just too critical and angry. I just don't feel like we're one on this. I don't know what to do. Now, these words are not from one particular person or two particular people. This is a composite of comments I've heard from husbands and wives and parents as they have shared with me the issue of raising children and sought help over the years. There is no doubt that raising children is one of the largest issues and difficulties between a husband and wife. To be grace-saturated parents, parents that believe in the gospel of grace, spouses must build a grace-saturated marriage. You cannot be a good parent to your children if you're not a good Christian to your spouse. It's impossible. Marriages which think that they can raise their children well, even though their marriage is on the rocks or has continued issues that are unresolved between them, marriages that are not growing in unity in Christ, and husband and wife are becoming more and more unified in Christ together, they're just fooling themselves to think that they can raise their children well. And that's happening all over America and even in the churches. The most important thing you can ever teach your children, besides the gospel itself, Jesus Christ, who He is, the Savior of sinners, the help and comfort of the soul, the most important thing besides this is to teach your children how to live in a marriage under grace, with husband and wife loving Christ more than each other, and therefore living with each other in service and love to Christ. And this is why child raising is a challenge to Christian marriage. You have to be a spouse that loves Christ and loves the other in order to be a good parent. The very presence of children creates new possibilities, a new dimension in every marriage which has to be addressed. No longer do husbands and wives live in kind of a two-dimensional relationship where they don't have outside influences from children or others. It's like a long-term date or courtship. But then, as soon as one child is born, the relationship becomes three-dimensional, because there is a relationship of the husband or the father to the child, and then there's the relationship of the mother to the child, and it complicates. And there's the relationship of both of them to the child. A husband must now relate to his wife as a wife, to his child as a father, and to his wife as his child's mother. And the same for a wife. There's difficulties, and then you add another child or two, and it goes from three-dimensional to four-dimensional to the fifth dimension, whatever that is. And throw in a couple of grandparents that don't understand or agree with what you're doing, and you've really got problems in child raising. It's a trial. It's an opportunity. And not only this, but spouses come from different backgrounds, different kinds of home life in which they have been raised as children. One spouse's parents may have come from a very permissive and unstructured home in childhood, but the other spouse's parents may have exercised close oversight or expressed sinful anger toward the children. One spouse may have been raised in a two-parent home, the other in a one-parent home. One spouse may have experienced physical abuse or even sexual abuse in their childhood, which greatly affects the way they treat their spouse and their children if they do not deal with it before God. And the other may have had a very secure and stable childhood and just doesn't understand, you know, what the problem is. What is the difficulty? And when we get married and have a child, we tend to copy our parents' strengths and weaknesses toward our children. And in some ways, we copy them by overreacting to their failures and abuses and go the opposite extreme and actually accomplish the same problem toward our children. By copying or reaction, parents are tempted to overlook the way God has called us to raise our children, and that when any man comes to Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. New things have come at the feet of God. We need to ask, what does God want? Not how it was done in our previous home, unless it was according to God's ways. And build a new home. A man shall leave his father and mother and glue himself to his wife. The two shall become one flesh, and build a relationship in unity and love in a good marriage under God, so that when they have children, they are unified and looking to God's will in how to raise them instead of competing with each other. Children are a great challenge to our Christian faith and sanctification because it makes us deal with ourselves as much or more than the children. There's no end of books and conferences to learn about raising children. We have them on our book table. I've tried to encourage you to read two books over the years. Shepherding a Child's Heart by Ted Tripp. It's one of the best books ever been written on Christian child raising. And yet I'm sure there's some here who've never read that book. You have children. It's not that books outside the Bible are more authoritative than the Bible, but he brings some teachings about from the Scripture about how to think about raising your children that most of us have not been exposed to from previous churches or experiences or perhaps our previous family. The other book is Strengthening Your Marriage by Wayne Mack, who's one of the premier Christian teachers and counselors in America. And his section on raising children in the Lord is one of the best things that's ever been written. Showing in the Scriptures how parents are to live with their children and teach their children and correct their children and communicate with their children. And we've used these books for years here. Maybe, I'm sure many of you have read them, but perhaps there's some that have not read them yet. Parents have to learn how to raise children. It is not natural to us to know how God thinks about this. And His Word and truth is the authoritative, sufficient guide to raising children. And that's where we have to begin. Building a marriage that is one in Christ, and then looking together at the Scriptures and saying, you know what? We've got to throw out the old baggage of opinions and thoughts we've carried for years and ask God what He thinks together, so that we can raise the children in unity. I believe if parents would do that and consistently try to do that, many of the questions about child raising would be answered. Children would be raised with love instead of anger, bitterness, grudges, screaming, coldness. But the unconditional love that we see at the cross of Christ
on our behalf,
God Himself would learn from that quality of love which Mitch just described, how to love our children with grace. We have to raise them with respect toward God and toward others, teaching them to love God with all their heart and love their neighbor as themselves and not allow them to hate others and harm others. To cheat, to steal, to lie. We use the Ten Commandments to form their moral conscience from their earliest days so that they understand what God is like and that they are sinners and need Jesus Christ as a Savior to guide their consciences. The sad thing is, in many churches, we see our children grow up in the church and then as soon as they are of whatever is considered adulthood, they often end up leaving the church. In America today, it's something like 70 to 80% of children that are raised in the churches leave the church in adulthood. Why does this happen? What's the solution? Do we need more youth programs and sports programs? Or is it the way the children are raised in the home? I believe it's the latter. For children who find the love of God in their parents' faces are the ones that believe in the gospel of Christ and love Him for the way they were raised. What can parents do? Every day, they can start over in the grace of God, looking unto God, confessing sin, looking to God's Word, starting over by faith in Christ. They can overcome differences together as they look to God's Word together on how to raise children. They can live before the children in a grace-based way as parents, as husband and wife. They can love each other, they can forgive each other and serve each other, so when their children watch them, their children can learn what a Christian marriage should be. And also bring security to their hearts that there's someone in the home governing this home besides an imperfect father and mother who brings comfort to their hearts and security to their lives. God's grace is sufficient to help a husband and wife to work together in child raising instead of being at odds with each other. And it takes the grace of God. It takes the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace, patience and kindness and goodness and meekness and faithfulness and self-control. For husbands and wives to live together and to have the unity in those fruits of the Spirit in the way they raise their children. A living faith in Christ, a trust in His ways and His Word, that together they join hearts and hands to raise their children in the nurture and discipline of the Lord. And that's important that Paul added there, bringing them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. It isn't just about teaching them that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's about surrounding the children with the gospel of grace as you raise them in the Lord. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to try to bring several principles, four or five principles for child raising in a Christian home, in a marriage that is based upon grace in Christ, in the way husband and wives treat each other, because that is how to raise the children to believe the gospel, at least from a human perspective, that there's something in it, that God is real, that their parents are different from their friends' parents, and it's about God. And the first thing, the only thing I want to bring this morning in that those principles is this, which I've already stated and I want to expand, that parents must live under grace together in front of the children. Sometimes that is just skipped over. You know, parents, husbands and wives should live Christian lives together, and that's important for the children to see. It's more important than just saying that. It is everything about raising children. When God made Adam and Eve to love one another in the garden, He brought them together so that the two become one before He gave them children. And that's God's priority for the home. Ephesians 5. Paul did the same thing. He talks about the Spirit-filled life. He first talks about worshiping God, trusting in God and worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, living a life that's thankful for God's grace. In everything, give thanks. And then he said to Christians in the church, be subject to one another. Live together in the church in humility. Show grace to each other as God has shown grace toward you. And then he says, wives and husbands, this is how I want you to live. And he does that on purpose because the priority in a Christian home is the marriage, not the children. Then he moves to children and parents. In God's mind, the primary relationship in the home is the marriage. Except to protect a child from physical harm or being required or permitted by one parent to sin, children must never come before or between a husband and wife. One's relationship to your spouse must always take precedence over one's relationship to your children. Children at home are temporary guests whom the Lord has lent to us for a time. For us to be stewards in how we raise them in the nurture and discipline of the Lord. And then they're going to leave us, but the marriage stays. The best way to be a good father or mother, because of God's order, is to be a good husband and wife. And although this makes things a little more complicated in child raising, meaning that you always have to work on your marriage, you always have to think about how you're treating each other in marriage. With all the busyness of raising children, it's easy to get distracted from each other. It makes it a bit more complicated, and yet it is God's order to make sure your children are raised in the Lord. Not to do this is why so many couples in America today raise their children. They stay together for the children. Then when the kids get in high school or leave for college, they say, I just can't take it anymore, and they leave their spouse. Time the divorce is pretty rate high during that period of time. Why is that? It's because they've given more attention to their children. They've made the children the center of the family instead of each other. They have not built their marriage. They've just raised their children. And the sad thing is, that's the worst thing and the worst example that you can set for the children they've raised. There are two things about the marriage relationship and its priority that I want to mention, or in its importance is a better way to say it, in child raising. The first one is to make your marriage the priority. Why has God placed the priority of child raising on a good marriage? Well, first, because children need to see a grace-saturated marriage as a model for their own marriage one day. They watch every day how the husband and wife treat each other, and they learn everything. They learn the good, they learn the bad. And that's going to become their model when they're married. Their memories, their learned responses, is going to come out in their marriage. This may be the most important thing that parents ever teach their children, aside from the gospel itself. You cannot raise children in a Christian way if the parents do not live together as Christians. Most of the childhood insecurities and rebellions and troubles can be traced somehow, I say most of them, not all of them, but most of them, to marital disunity. Just the general statistics in the United States in terms of juvenile delinquency is that most of those kids come from broken homes or are latchkey kids. And they've never lived in a home where they could observe a father and a mother who love each other as husband and wife. They've never felt the security and the forgiveness and the kindness of parental love. So they look to their peers. And their peers are no wiser than they are, and the next thing you know, they're in trouble. Crime statistics in the United States. You don't have to be a Christian to see that, or to believe in God to see that. Most of the childhood problems that act out are related in some way to the relationship of husband and wife, and how that husband and wife together in unity raise their children in the Lord. In fact, there are many times when you can, not all the time, but many times you can look at the problems a child has and project what the problem is in the marriage. Only the grace of God for husband and wife can help them to overcome the sins between them, the ignorance about raising children, and produce a unity and an agreement where they make their marriage the priority and the base on which to relate to the children with one voice, so the children understand God's word and will and cannot play one parent off against the other. For if they can do that, they are the ones that control the home. And it teaches them how to manipulate and control others. Children need to learn that the family does not revolve around them. There's such an obsession today to raise children and give them everything they want, to keep up with the Joneses and make sure that your child has exactly what the other children have because you don't want your child to be inferior or suffer some kind of ridicule at school. And so much of the work and attention of raising children is what's going on. Does my children have this? Does my child have this? My child have that? It makes children the center of the home. The best way to create a selfish, self-centered, unloving, and demanding child, which will be like that in their marriage, is to put more emphasis on them than your own spouse. You as husband and wife are having a conversation about something, and little Susie Q comes up and starts pulling on the leg and saying, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy." And you stop speaking to your spouse and give your child all your attention. You've just self-centered that they are more important to you than your spouse. Instead of teaching them to honor you and wait for the proper time and place. Things like that happen all through the day, all through the week, where absent-mindedly or just not thinking, it's easy for a parent to teach their child that they are more important than the marriage. Or the home revolves around meeting their needs. Recently, in another place, I observed this, where the child controlled the parents. And I haven't seen in a long time a child more selfish, more disrespectful to parents, to other children, and to other adults. Because the parents allowed the child to be the center of the relationship and really the servant of the child. To let family life be determined by children's desires and activities only teaches a child that they are more important than the parents and other people. And such wrong-headed priorities only feeds self-importance and pride in children. It hardens their conscience to always be thinking about what they want instead of denying themselves to love and serve and meet the needs of others. And then parents, when their kids are teenagers, say, "I don't know what happened. I gave them everything they needed." And they have on their hands a child that shows no honor to them, no respect to them, lies to them, deceives them, has no thankful heart for what the parents have given them. It's ungrateful. And no matter what their parents tell them about life and how God wants them to live, they're always thinking, my parents don't know anything. Just read the devotional in our little white sheet after this afternoon. See what Spurgeon says about that. Parents must never let child raising become more important than building their marriage. It's the worst mistake on child raising you can make for the good of your children. The second thing, besides the priority of marriage, is unity in your approach to child raising. If you don't have a unified philosophy of child raising, as husband and wife, your children will be able to detect that like a hound dog sniffing a rabbit trail. And being as intelligent as they are, they will learn ways to get their way, to divide the parents' unity, to create tension between husband and wife, to confuse with arguments, to play on sympathies, to pout, to throw a fit when they don't get their way, just like little babies. When children with a sinful nature see a different approach from each parent to godly instruction and discipline, they will exploit these differences to manipulate the situation to get their way. Pitting one parent against the other, and from this being permitted by parents in the home, the children are learning. They're going to school all of their days for 18 years and becoming experts in being self-centered, manipulative of others, deceitful, to get their way in life. Different rules between parents, changing priorities, changing rules, inconsistently applying agreed upon principles of child raising are all places with the potential of teaching your child how to be self-centered and manipulative, of creating a division between father and mother. It also creates an insecure child because they don't know what the rules are then. And since you are inconsistent with each other, maybe it's not really a rule. It clouds their conscience. It inhibits their ability to think clearly about right and wrong, about God's
never
law
changes as the standard of his judgment,
and their need of Christ as a redeemer from God's righteous judgment. It gives them a moral relativity that clouds their thinking in those years when they are making big decisions about life. And they have more freedom than they do when they're small children. Only when both parents live under grace and seek to love Christ first and love his commandments and keep his commandments toward each other and build a Christian home in marriage that is according to God's word, will they have an agreement together on how to instruct and discipline their children. They will be making the rules from the same Ten Commandments for their children that both parents have to be honored equally, even though the father is the head of the home, that there can be no hatred and murder and striking of another and violence toward another human being, that there can be no deceit
about sexual immorality as they grow up. That they need to honor their future spouse by the way they live today, and that their parents are teaching them how to do that for the glory of God and the good of their own soul in future marriage. Teaching them to not steal and touch other people's property without their permission, to show respect to other people instead of feeling they have a right to grab anything they can get away with. Teaching them how not to be deceitful and bear false witness and lie and cheat to get their way so that they will be faithful to their marriage vows one day. And honest, hard workers at work for the glory of God. There must be agreement on all this. No grumbling and complaining according to the commandment, you shall not covet. Parents must agree that these are the rules. This is the moral law of God. That is the standard by which we raise our children. And then apply the gospel of Christ to them, that they need a Savior to give them a heart to want to obey, like Psalm 119. Only unity in the marriage, the philosophy of raising children, on the philosophy, only when both parents agree and help each other to be consistent instead of argue and criticize each other for their failures, will produce a clear sound to the children about God and His Word and the gospel of Christ for their soul's sake. No other efforts for our children can compensate for the failure to be unified together as husband and wife on child raising. The best thing you can ever do for your children is to build a grace-based marriage toward each other that is at the center of the home. And when God adds children to that family, teaching the children in unity from God's Word, those children can grow up with a clear sound of what is God's truth, of what is right and wrong, and especially they can see in the grace and love and patience and kindness and forgiveness of their parents the hope for salvation in the face of Christ. Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." But it all begins in the marriage. Jesus Christ died upon the cross, not only to save sinners individually for heaven, but to enable sinners by His grace and learning how to love at His feet to rebuild marriages and therefore to rebuild homes. And it is only when parents live in unity and peace at the foot of the cross and say to Christ, "Thy will be done," in the way we treat each other, in the way we're unified in raising our children, that our children will be raised in the nurture and discipline of the Lord. That they'll be clear about who Christ is. Now, the sad thing is that sin remains in every husband and wife and every parent and child that are Christians, even. So there has to be continual repentance from sin, confession of fault, seeking forgiveness from others, as well as God. And there has to be a continual submission to Christ at the beginning of each day and all through the day, many times a day. What does Christ want of me? What is His will for me as a husband, as a wife, and then as a parent? Come to Jesus Christ. Build your marriage upon Him and His salvation and His grace and love shown toward each other, and you will know how to raise children. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask that you would help us as we have the beginning of this study on raising children in the Lord, that you'd remind us that in the Lord means more than just instructing and disciplining children. It means to surround them with the gospel in the home. And I pray that you would help us all to do that, and our children would learn, observing us, how to love one another in a marriage, and that they would experience the consistency and the unity and the grace that comes from a loving marriage in the way they raise the children. Help us, Lord, for there's so many inconsistencies in us. There's so many times we fail. And yet we thank you for the grace that promises the forgiveness of sins every day and the cross that comforts us not only in that forgiveness but gives us the direction of loving Christ and keeping His commandments. Help us to build marriages that are based upon the gospel, and then that our children would benefit from the gospel we believe. That they would have a clear thought as they leave our homes to build their own families one day. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.